is a very good afternoon. It's Niall Boylan with you for the next hour or so. Better late than never, as they say. Sorry we are a little bit later today, 2 hours late, actually, to be honest with you. But we have good reason, and all will be revealed during the week. I shall tell you all about it during the week. We have a very good reason to be late. Now, I do want to get straight to this. And you may know or you may not know, but Rishi Sunak, of course, is the Prime Minister of the United Kingdom. And he's in a bit of a turmoil at the moment because he's trying to save money. And the biggest bill is, of course, social welfare, as it is here in Ireland. And that's why I thought I'd talk about this particular thing. And it says here, this is the Daily Mail, benefits to be axed after a year on the dole to stop it becoming a lifestyle choice, says Prime Minister. Now, I don't know whether you believe, you know, living on benefits is actually a lifestyle choice, but the jobless, he goes on to say, the jobless will have their benefits axed if they fail to find work within 1 year, according to Rishi Sunak, unveiling the biggest shake-up ever in the history of the state and the welfare system for a generation. The Prime Minister said he was determined to prevent people staying on benefits as a lifestyle choice. Outlining the new moral mission to get Britons back to work, the PM also said too many young people are complaining of mental health conditions such as anxiety and depression. We're being written off and you should be helped to look for a job. More than 420,000 people in the UK who are classed as sick or disabled will be asked to look for work for the first time. Mr. Sunak's comments triggered a furious backlash from disabled charities, but he said it was fair to expect people to work, to take a job, adding that going to work can actually improve your mental and physical health. So what he's essentially saying is people are choosing to stay on the dole because the benefits sometimes, you know, are better than being on, say, kind of minimum wage job. But is he right or is that a little bit harsh? Now, some of the things that he has talked about, by the way, I have them here, some of the points that he has mentioned just very quickly. He says there'll be a 12-month rule for the unemployed. He basically plans will see people on the dole have their benefit claims closed after 1 year unless they can convince the job centre staff they're actively looking for work and willing to accept any job offer. Annie is highlighted, by the way. Personal independence payments. Hundreds of thousands of people with anxiety and depression will lose access to payments worth up to 700 quid a month. Same as here, people claim, for example, disability or they claim sickness if they're depressed. And instead, they'll be offered therapy to help them get back to work and not money. Part-time workers, new rules will require part-time workers on universal credit, that's the dole, to look for more work. Anyone working for less than the equivalent of 18 hours a week on minimum wage will have to show they're actively seeking more hours. Disability rules. The Work Capability Assessment rules, which govern who is eligible for sickness benefits, will be tightened to require 424,000 with milder mental health conditions to get back to work. Sick notes. GPs could be stripped of their role in signing off people as sick and replaced by specialist work and health professionals who will be focused on what work people can actually do with support such as flexibility to work from home. And then they go on about benefit fraud, for example, will be they're basically going to deal with it tougher and they're going to have seizures and arrests. Last year, benefit fraud was 6.4 billion in the United Kingdom. It's quite a substantial amount here as well. Okay, so the bottom line is, if you're out of work for over a year, your dole is cut off, unless you can actually prove you will take any job. If you're sick and claiming that you're suffering from mental health problems, inverted commas, or depression or anxiety, as he says, you'll be cut off. And instead, you'll be offered therapy to get back to work, not money. And also, any GP who's signing you off as being sick when you're not actually sick, you know, the kind of pain in the back thing, he'll be struck off and then get specialists to deal with you instead. A lot of stuff there, isn't there, really? But is it a bit harsh? I mean, after all, if somebody is suffering from depression or anxiety, quite difficult to get back to work. Although many specialists and doctors will tell you the best thing to do is to actually get yourself back into work again. Because sitting at home, I suppose, you know, if you're feeling depressed or feeling down and you just can't get out of the house, that's probably not the best place for you. Getting yourself back out into the workplace and meeting people again is probably the best therapy you can get. And that's what a lot of specialists say. But then again, that's not for everybody. But I want to know, is this a bit harsh? He plans to save absolutely billions by doing this. He believes there are too many people living off welfare. Let me know what you think. The number is 085 122 55. That's 085 122 55. In this country, for example, at the moment, we have less than 5% unemployment rate. So that's 5% of people who are on job seekers. But we also have thousands of people who are claiming disability payments who probably could go out and work. They could do remote work, they could do desk jobs, for example, if they have a bad back, they could do different types of jobs, but they don't. they claim disability payments. Should we reassess all those people? Should we tell people if you're out of work for more than a year, you're off the dole? Should we do those things? Or is that a little bit harsh and too tough on people? Let me know what you think. The number is 085 122 55. Let me go to Sean first if I can. Sean, hi. How are you, Sean?
Hey, Niall.
Good. Is that a bit harsh, Sean, is it?
Yeah. Yeah, it is. I've a couple of issues with it. I suppose the first one is when you're looking at an area zero unemployment like we have in Ireland, the 5% or less.
Yeah.
Most people are at work. There are plenty of jobs available, but what happens when we go through the economic downturn, the cycles that we go through every 10 years or so? So another 4 or 5 years, people start getting laid off and there aren't jobs available and you end up on the dole for more than a year because there simply aren't the jobs. But you've got this piece of legislation that says, oh, well, you're being cut off after a year.
So well, I think they would have to reconsider it. I mean, if you go back to 2010 in Ireland, we had 15% unemployment. So, you know, at a time like that, the government would have to reconsider those kind of, you know, and be reasonable about things like that. But I think, but John, what he's more focused on is not so much the unemployed. It's people scamming disability. That's what he's more focused on.
I don't know. I don't know the figures in England, but certainly when you look over here, I think an awful lot of it, you have to look at the reasons people have become unemployed and have to stay unemployed and what jobs are suitable. If we take in the last year, so we're expecting 10,000 job losses in Irish tourism because there's foreign nationals in the hotels. That's led to a 29.4% unemployment rate in Kerry alone. Those people can't just turn around and go out and get a job in tourism without travelling to Cork or Limerick. And you know, at what stage you say these people have to travel for work, have to get a bus for 2.5 hour, two directions for work. I know there's people travel to Dublin from Roscommon every day to work, but that's a choice. Whether you're forcing people into an 8 hour day with 2.5 hour travel each way, I think you have to consider that. And then, you know, for the disability sector, I mean, when we're at full employment, I think you look at it and say, well, how many are really scamming the system and how much is it going to cost in legislation, in bureaucracy, in probably a new social welfare department to track this? How much are you going to spend to catch out the few people who genuinely...
They did this in the UK going back about 7 years ago. I remember talking around the radio. And what they did was George Osborne at the time, who was the Minister for Finance over there at the time, he basically reassessed everybody who was on disability. He wanted everybody reassessed again. And they found that 50% of people claiming disability were capable of working in some field. Now, okay, you know, if you have a bad back, you'd have to have a job where you're sitting down, for example, or whatever it is. Or you could work from home if you're suffering from depression, maybe, or something like that. But look at all the things that are covered under disability. Alcoholism is covered under disability. Drug use is covered under disability. Mental health, anxiety. He's saying he's not accepting that anymore. You're not getting your 700 quid a month, as far as he's concerned. We'll offer you therapy instead.
This is the same guy who'll tell you then that health and safety is number one priority. I mean, if you're looking at an alcoholic, are they physically fit to drive machinery, to operate in and around machinery, to be driving for work, to be in a situation where they're put behind the wheel? There's the knock-on effects of these, a person under the influence of alcohol or drugs in work and being forced out to work by the government when maybe they should be in a care facility. Now, I would have no objection to saying, okay, you have an alcoholic, let's put them into an institution on the government dime for a month to get off the alcohol and then have a program for back to work. I mean, that's something that should happen anyway. But do we cut people off from their dole payments because they're suffering from that injury?
I watched a documentary one night and there was a girl. Yeah, there was a girl on it who was obese, and it was all about, it was called Life on Benefits, right? It's a documentary on ITV. And she was obese and she was claiming benefits. And her husband was actually a feeder. I'm sure you've heard of feeders, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of weird fetish. Anyway, he was a feeder. She was obese. She could, and she was aiming, this was her target, by the way, right? This is what she actually said. My target is to get to a point where I can't walk, right? This is how bizarre this was. So anyway, but basically, the dole had come around to visit her, or their version of the dole, the universal credit, had come around to visit her and said, basically, look, we're going to offer you a way out here. We'll offer you help, healthcare. We'll offer you, you know, a way of losing weight. But if you don't take the offer and you don't make an effort, you're off the dole. Is that fair?
That's absolutely fair. Of course it is. A person has to want to get better. But I think there's an awful lot of these situations where people can't get better. And like I said, I think that the instances of people that are faking it, and faking it for long enough that they have an impact on the national finances, I think it's a lot smaller than the amount of resources it takes to go out and fix that problem. I mean, you look at that, just take that one sample of obesity. You need the inspector to go out. You need someone on the admin side. You need to pay for the extra healthcare. You're probably going to pay for a gym membership. All it is for months on end, which is probably more expensive than just paying her dough. And is it really worth it? I mean, much as a decent gym a month.
Yeah. But in her case, it wasn't just her dole. It was his carer's allowance as well, because he was getting a carer's allowance because he was claiming he was her carer. Now, he was only about 27 and she was about 35. You know what I mean?
I know a couple of families that have never worked in the whole entire life, and I just look at them and go, you know, you should be disgusted with yourselves. I just ask the question, is there enough of them to make it financially beneficial, and will it change enough? I mean, how many of these guys, if he says 50%, how many of them is he actually going to catch out? How long will it take to catch them out? I mean, if you look at the live register in Ireland, we 60,000 odd people who are on benefits for more than a year. Mm. That is such a small amount of money in this country when we're at
But we're spending life. 22 billion a year on welfare payments. Of all kinds, by the way, can I point out?
Yeah, but the vast majority of that is for genuine cases. I mean, 65% of them or more are on job seekers for genuine reasons.
Well, I mean, a lot of it's disability, invalidity, old age pensions. That's all part of that 22 billion bill, by the way.
I look at my mother. She had to go on disability. She was one of those caught between the raise of the pension aid, so she'd left work sick. Now she has private pension and that, but from 64 to 65 or 65 to 66, whatever it was, she had to go on an invalidity pension. Do we really want to be sending people out to that type of person and examining them and putting through the hardship? And you look at people who are genuinely disabled, how many doctor's appointments.
And by the way, I understand the point you're saying. No, I do understand the point you're making, Sean, but, you know, the government and the state do have a responsibility and a duty, by the way, to protect your taxpayers' money. So, you know, if it means reassessing people to make sure people are not codding the system, you know, that's what they kind of have to do to some degree. But I do understand the point you're making. Stay there for a second, Sean. Dave, you know, Sean makes the point, it'll be hardly worth your while. Because I remember the famous story, of course, the revenue commissioners in Ireland, and I can't remember the exact figures, but don't quote me, so I'm making these up, right? But they were given this kind of amnesty to people who had offshore accounts at one stage. And then they did this whole investigation, which took 2 or 3 years, a whole team of people. And I believe they took in like 2 billion. You know, that's how much they got. But it cost them 3 billion to get the 2 billion. Do you understand what I'm saying? The point John is making is to go around and doing all this, administrating all this, would probably cost more than it would be worth to actually just hand out the money in the first place.
Yeah, I kind of agree with that. I mean, when you consider like how like low our unemployment rate is at the moment, and then take the people who are fiddling the system out of that low number, like administration costs, paying people to, you know, to do it, chasing people, then you have people who probably are genuine, but they'll be, you know, probably end up losing benefits for a while as kind of collateral damage. Does it really seem like it's worth it? And I mean, I always get weary when billionaires like Rishi Sunak start talking about how it's people on the social welfare are taking all your money and not all of our buddies who are creaming it during COVID. I mean, do you remember like they were giving out contracts in England, the likes of Matt Hancock and stuff, like to the tune of billions to people who owned a pub because they were friends of theirs, you know?
Oh, that was happening here, like, too. That was happening here, too, by the way.
No, it was happening here, too. Yeah. But you never notice that, like, every time there's, like, some sort of, like, you know, economic uncertainty or people are getting pissed off because they're being screwed left, right, and center, immediately it's turned on. No, lads, it's not us that's making up all the things. It's actually, like, the one or two people you know down the road who don't work around at all. They're the reason your life is so shit right now. You know, like, I mean, and there is also like the thing of the poverty trap, like where there are people who just due to their own circumstances are on some form of welfare. But if they get a job, they lose some of the benefits that they have. And then actually working a full week isn't like worth it for them.
No, it's cheaper to stay at home. Yeah, it's cheaper to stay at home.
Well, no, not even cheaper to stay at home, but even just cheaper to like work part-time and claim one or two things. Because the ceilings for a lot of these things are incredibly low, and like they're not representative of the times we live in and the cost of everything nowadays.
But is it harsh to turn around to people, and I'll read this one again. This is one of the main ones he seems to be going on about, okay? Which is, the personal independence payment. Hundreds of thousands of people who claim they have anxiety and depression will lose their access payments of 700 a month and instead be offered therapy to help them to get back to work. So in other words, no more of this, I'm depressed, I can't go to work. We'll offer you a therapy, and if you don't want that, you're not getting any money.
Yeah, but see, even like to put it like that, oh, I'm depressed, I can't go to work, it's being kind of flippant about it, because like, particularly for people with depression or anxiety, like, people don't read it, because, like, you know, so many people nowadays say, oh, God, my anxiety is that, right? Like, a real proper anxiety, like, disorder, like, general anxiety disorder, social anxiety, can be crippling. Like, and I mean crippling to the point where you get such a bad panic attack, you genuinely feel like you're having a heart attack. Mm-hmm. Like, I got a panic attack that was so bad one day, I went over to my doctor, and I was like, I was so sure I was going to be taken away in an ambulance.
Oh, no,
like,
I've often got the anxiety, the panic attack, the pain down the arm, the whole lot.
Do you know what I mean? So just to say, some people are like, oh, look, and don't get me wrong, I am sure there are people milking it, and then they're fucking ruining it for everybody else.
But there's no harm in offering people in therapy anyway, because I've spoken to some therapists on the air before in relation to people who are suffering from depression, and they say a lot of people could be helped by going to work. Sometimes that helps people.
Oh, come here. 100%. I couldn't agree with you more. Going back to work myself was probably the best thing for my mental health, was to get out, you know, get doing something, feel like you're...
Distraction, at the end of the day. Yeah.
Yeah, and look, and there's not so many people waiting. Mm.
Yeah, Sean, sorry, go ahead.
No, about 6 months ago, we had a guy in work who was feeling down. He was suicidal. And we got him to ring. I won't mention the free phone number, but they were engaged. So he rang a second one. He rang a third one. They were all engaged. He couldn't get anyone on the phone. We eventually got the guards out to him. They took him into hospital. There's waiting lists here for every mental health professional. Children are waiting 3 years to be seen by a mental health professional. What are we going to do? Put all these people on the dole ahead of people who genuinely need it, like the children. Are we going to make them wait 3 years before they can see a mental health professional? This is all great to say, let's give counselling to people on dole who are feeling a little anxious. Where are we getting the people to do it? We just don't have the services to implement it.
Okay.
But to be fair, like, I mean, England Health Service isn't, you know, like, it's not far off, even in regards to mental health services. So, like, it's a great soundbite for a politician to say, we're going to give you counsel, or we're going to give you this, and we're going to give you that. But, like, when the counsellors aren't there, so what do? They could just cut you off for social welfare and say, well, look, we you are on a waiting list. I mean, it, like, all this thinks to me is, like, just another fucking rich politician saying, oh, lads, I know we made a bollocks of the economy, but it's actually Johnny Dolebag down the road's fault, and we're going to do this to make it look like we're actually doing something. But it's like, it's them. Like, if they're so worried about, like, the economy, why don't they all announce that we're not going to claim our own benefits anymore? Because remember, politicians and people who work in public services get some of the best benefits in the country. So okay, talk about smashing all that stuff first?
Okay, well, hang on a second, because I've just loads of people to get to. I want to come to Jessica and Lorenzo. Jessica, hi, how are you?
Hiya.
Jessica, is this a bit harsh to be kind of cutting people off who were on the dole more than a year, or who are claiming depression or anxiety, or and offering them therapy instead of money? Is it a bit harsh?
I mean, look, it sounds it, but look, as is that Dave on your line?
Dave, yeah.
Oh, yeah. But look, like you said, there are the people who genuinely have issues, and I would say, look, help them as much as you can. But we all know that there are people out there who kind of milk it. Like, I know people, I've known people in my life where they're like, oh, I don't know if I can get another job because I have social anxiety. I was like, well, I mean, if you can go into a post office, talk to a stranger every day and gladly take money off them, like, that doesn't seem like social anxiety to me, but I'm probably just being flippant.
Mm. Yeah. I mean, I
would say no to Sue Nack's idea. Because we'll get rid. I honestly think it would get rid of all the generational doleheads off it. You're causing the problem.
But would you really? Because a lot of people, as you well know, you know, as you say, it's generational. You know, they don't know anything else, and you know that's a kind of mental health problem in itself. They don't know anything else. You know, there are people, generations of families who've lived on welfare all their lives.
Instead of just giving whatever the amount is that they get, use that money to instead say, right, well, look, instead of collecting this money and spending it however you want, we'll use it to put you on a course. Have a look at whatever you want to do. Maybe there's something you might see you want to do.
But they don't want to do anything. There are some people who just don't want to do anything. I have my own business.
If they don't, then they're a lost cause.
Some people are a lost cause. Some.
Because on the door myself, and I'm going to be honest, I hated it. Mm. I absolutely hated it. I felt dirty. Like, I almost felt dirty being on it.
I know.
So that, like, no, I did. Like, I felt like.
Talk to you soon, bye bye.
Oh my God.
Yeah, sorry. Go ahead. No, that's okay. That was just Morris coming on. Go ahead, sorry.
Oh, okay. Yeah, no, I felt like I wasn't entitled to it almost. Now, I lost my job, like, through whatever means. Like, I don't want to get into that now, but I felt almost like dirty about it. I was upset about it. And my mom said, look, you've earned this. You lost your job through no fault of your own. Just use it until you got back on your feet.
Yeah. That's what it's for, isn't it? It's kind of stopgap.
That's what it's for, yeah. I got back into work about. I'm 100%, I'm probably 110 times happier than I was when I was just sitting at home with nothing to do, looking at Indeed, thinking, oh God, is someone going to answer me?
Yeah. Yeah, no, I, to be honest with you, I wouldn't last long in that situation, you know, because I'd be bored, to be honest with you. I did actually attempt to go on the dole when I was 19 years of age, but my father worked at the time they used to means test it, and they offered me £5 or something like that, so I said, you're grand. But I do remember in those days you had to go into Gardner Street in Dublin. And you're right. No matter how, you can have 50 baths and wearing a Marnie suit, and you still feel dirty when you went in. But stay there for a second, because I want to go to Lorenzo.
It sounds like a good idea.
It does sound like a good idea, as long as people aren't hurt by it. Sorry, Lorenzo, hi.
Hi, how are you, Niall?
Jessica says, in principle, it sounds like a good idea, but is it a good idea?
Well, I think that there are definitely people that they need help, and many other people that are exploiting the system.
Mm-hmm.
So it would be no problem. I'd say it would be a great idea to reevaluate everyone, and see who needs, who doesn't need. If you don't need it and you can work, off you go and work. Because there is no other, otherwise there is no excuses. I mean, I mean, hearing from the people that you were, you know, people that were talking here, they know a lot of people that they need help. I know a lot of people that they don't want help. And when you go and say, there is a job, why should I? If in my experience of 6-7 years in Ireland, I know only those people, well, there must be something wrong then. If I know only people that can work, but they don't want to work. And even listen to other people that are looking for people for work, they say the same. Nobody wants to come. I mean, I met a guy that he's a builder, that he wanted to expand his business, and he was looking for people. He got 3 people out, and as soon as they arrived, they said, sign up that we are not fit because we don't want to lose the job. Mm. We don't want to lose the dole.
I was just going to mention that happened to me many years ago, my own business. And I'm going to come back to what Sean said a few minutes ago, that the administration costs. I agree with what you're saying. Everybody should be reassessed on a regular basis.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, the point Sean is making is, it wouldn't be financially viable because the amount of staff you'd need to do that.
It's not true. It's not true because that is an investment. You can't calculate how much will cost in 1 year. Obviously, the first year you're going to lose, but the following year, those people are working and are paying taxes. So they're going less people to be reassessed. And the people that were assessed this year, next year, are working and paying taxes and they're not getting the dole. So then the price will go down. And they increase the taxes and the revenue is going up. So it's not true. And the money that you're putting for the welfare can really be put on the people that are in need, not the people that are just lazy and don't want to work.
Sean, that's a fair point. You know, you will get it back. I know you're saying it's not worth it. But, I mean, what the point Lorenzo makes actually makes a good point. Okay, you might have to put a bit of investment into it, you know, and it'll cost you, say, $5,000 or whatever for this person to get them back into work. But all of a sudden, they're back working, you're not paying them anymore, and they're paying tax.
Well, I just feel the people in Ireland who are out there to defend the system, I think they're always going to be a step ahead of the social welfare, so they'll go back into work for a month, 2 months, and then they'll get sacked, or there'll be something else, and they'll just go through the cycle again. I wouldn't have any confidence that they're going to find a job for life. Also, on the money, I mean, if you pro rata Rishi Sunak amount to Ireland, I know you can't really do it that way. It works out at about 461 million. We could cut a 461 off our budget in a lot better way. You know, take your pick of the NGOs, you'd save 461 million. I get it. I get the idea of. In theory, it's great. It's great for Spain. I just don't think the money's there in a small country like Ireland compared to Britain to be going to this much effort.
Yeah. Do you think, by the way, he's also clamping down on benefit fraud? Now, currently in Ireland, if you're caught, you know, cheating the social welfare system, they don't bring everybody to court. They'll take two or three cases of the extreme per year, bring them to court, get a bit of press to try and frighten everybody else. If you're caught, you know, committing benefit fraud, you end up just basically being asked to pay it back again over time. Do you think people should go to jail for benefit fraud? It's very common, by the way. Really common.
That is, if you walk into a shop and steal X amount of goods, you know, if you steal thousands from a shop, you might see a little bit of jail time. If you don't, you won't. So I suppose it's the same with social welfare fraud. How much was it for how long a period of time? And
well, you know, you don't get in the shop anymore, so that's the point.
Yeah, you don't let me into the shop anymore. Yeah, but the difference here is, Lorenzo, if you're caught cheating your social welfare or benefit fraud, say you're claiming for something you shouldn't be claiming for 2 or 3 years, and they hand you a bill for say 30 grand,
exactly,
you can still claim social welfare because the state can't deny you. They can't deny you money because the thing about it is, if they don't give you social welfare, you'll starve. So they can't deny you social welfare.
Not, it can't be always a state problem. If you do it deliberately, you're doing deliberately. If it happened, it happened. It's the same way if you're killing someone and you didn't want to because it happened, you're charged in a certain way. But if you take a gun and shoot someone because you wanted, you're going to be charged differently. So if there is the will, I mean, that's the law. Like, if it happens, that's fine. It happens. You didn't know it. Slap on the wrist. Don't make it happen again. But if you're doing it on purpose, or you're doing 2, 3, 4 times, then it's not. I mean, I don't know if it's the same way in here and in Italy. But in Italy, we say that law do not take stupids. So if it's a law, you have to know.
Yes, you can claim ignorance. That's the same here. You can't claim ignorance of the law. But Jessica, do you believe people should go to jail?
Not in jail, because then you're not producing.
Well, that's true. Yeah, Jessica, do you think they should go to jail?
If it's a very, very extreme case, yeah. But if it's maybe under anywhere between 500 and 1,000 pounds.
Well, there was one case in the paper there recently of a woman that was claiming a carer's allowance for her mother for the last 5 years, who is dead.
Mm. Well, see, now that just seems. I want to say that's greed, but at the same time, with the way things are at the moment, like, it's just I don't know, it's a tough one. But like, you can't deny as well now that there are people out there who almost make a career out of the system.
Well, they know the system. You and I probably don't know it very well. I wouldn't know what to do if I was in that situation.
I know, but they know all the ins and outs. But people would argue, no, they just know they're entitled to it. But being entitled to it and just scabbing whatever bits you can are completely different. And I think it's the government's fault for making it that easy for some people to take advantage of it. So they kind of need to look at themselves and think, like, how the hell did it go wrong? And we can't go back now because there'd be outrage. Because you know what people are like, as soon as they hear the word cut,
yeah,
everyone just starts going through the roof.
Okay, well, hang on, let me just go to Morris. Morris, this has caused a huge hoo-ha in the UK at the moment. Richie Sunak wants to save himself billions, and he's going to do that by reassessing people on disability, people who are depressed, you're not getting money anymore, you get therapy instead, and people who are on the dole more than a year, you're getting cut off. Unless you can prove you've actually tried to get a job. Is he right? Is he right or is it a bit harsh?
No, I think he's wrong. I think he's very harsh. And to be honest with you, just going back through my life, when you look at countries that are in trouble financially and the government is imploding on itself, the first thing you do is turn on the people. It happened here. We were all cheats when Leo was Taoiseach.
Oh, I remember that,
across the water. Yeah, everybody's a cheat, you know. And now he's walked away. And Sunak will do the same. He's a billionaire, that man. He doesn't need to be Prime Minister of England.
He's a multi-billionaire. Yeah.
I think he's worth 700 million or nearly a billion anyway. So, if he's good at his job, fine. If you're going to start turning on the people, get out of politics. Because like your fella said before, Niall, show me a man that gets rich from politics and I'll show you a crook, right? Plus, my daughter now, I'll give you the opposite example. My daughter is working and living in England with her husband, bearing 3 kids. And only for we send over a few bob to help them out. They're really struggling. So you can imagine what people on the dole are doing. I read a case there recently in the UK about 3 months ago about a man, and they cut off his benefits. And he actually starved to death in his own home because he had no food. That's the extent of poverty in the UK. I'll tell you why it came to my attention. I have family members still living in Birmingham, and it happened near where my niece lives. And they couldn't, you know, the guy, because of the red tape, because of the cut-off, and the way benefits go now, and if you don't hear from us, nobody cut you off. The man starve to death in 2023 in England because they cut him off his benefits.
But here's the thing, in Ireland, they can't really cut you off. Now, they will say they're going to cut you off, or they'll cut you down, they'll reduce your payment sometimes, but they can't leave you with no money. Because, they, like that man, if they leave you with no money, you'll starve.
Yeah, that's what happened to him.
And even if you're guilty of fraud, I'm looking at a story here, by the way, and this is from 2022, a taxi driver who fraudulently claimed 345,000 in social welfare payments over the course of 12 years was sentenced for 2.5 years in prison. Now, he'd probably get out after a year. But in saying that, that's rare. I mean, that's obviously the extreme. Like, that's, you know, it's nearly half a million. You know what I mean? So God only knows what he was claiming. You know, not only claiming, he was working as a taxi driver as well.
Exactly. That's pure greed. That to me was a premeditated fraud. I'd lock him up for 5 years, or else I'd put him to work and make sure that he paid every penny back. Because I know taxi drivers that got involved with the property markets and the banks came after them. And now they're working for the banks because they were given drive-by fucking estimates on buying property.
But yeah, that chap you were talking about, by the way, who starved himself to death, can I just point out that might have happened anyway because seemingly he was suffering from serious mental health problems anyway.
Yeah, and then on top of that, they decide to cut his benefits. The very thing that was keeping him alive. Do you see what I mean? Do you see the way people are falling through the cracks? Mm-hmm. So you're nothing. I remember.
What harm is it going to somebody who, say, is claiming disability because they have a bad back, or claiming disability because they're an alcoholic, and saying, look, we'll offer you treatment, or you with the bad back, we'll get you a job where you can sit down, or you can work from home, or, you know what I mean, trying to help people to get back to work, because that's essentially what he's saying. You know, well, mind you, he's encouraging them by offering them, by saying to them, look, we can't keep giving you money, but we'll offer you therapy and we'll help you out here.
Yeah, it's pretty true. Listen, if there's people that can help back into the workplace, by all means, and it's very motivating. Like, you're working all your life, I'm working all my life. But I think one of the things that happened during Boris Johnson's government's time was one of his ministers came out and made a statement. I thought it was horrific. I thought the man should have been flogged in public. He said, this COVID is really great. He said that there's so many pensioners dying. We're saving millions on pensions.
Oh,
what a disgusting human being.
Oh,
what a disgusting
human being. Who said that? I didn't hear that. Who said that?
That's one of Boris Johnson's ministers when he was in government that time, when all the COVID was going on and he was in trouble. And this is the statement of him. Like the fellow that was caught messing around on his wife and then he goes on Celebrity whatever.
But hang on, Morris, we've done stuff like that in this country. You look, for example, the redress for the Magdalen Laundries and the redress for the mother and baby home. You know as well as I do the reason that was delayed and kicked down the road was because the longer they leave it, the less people are going to claim it because most of them will be all dead. You know what I mean?
Exactly. And like the people in the starters that were left waiting 40 years for justice and the people were unlawfully killed. What a shameful country we are. We can't look after the most vulnerable. But like somebody said, because it happened in a working class area on the north side of Dublin, nobody gave a shit at the time. And the people in power and the people that owned the property and were influential made sure they got their cut out of us. That was blood money that was paid out when that place burned to the ground. That was pure blood money. But getting back to the people that are under, you know, that fall through the cracks, there is smart arses out there that do take advantage and make it. And I remember one fellow was caught in Cork for €500,000 fraud benefits. And the reason they caught him was he got greedy and he found out that if his mother and father reached 100, they'd get 2,500.
From the president.
Off the president. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
In Cork. Yeah. And he what did he go to prison for? 9 months? €500,000. And do you know what the barrister said in court? Oh, God love him, he has an addiction to gambling. All the money went to Paddy Power. Paddy Power should have been made pay that money back because it was stolen money.
But you look at the two lads there a while ago. They brought a body into a post office. Do you remember that? To claim a pension.
Horrific. His uncle. Yeah. And they went to prison.
Yeah.
For not very long. But they dragged the dead body in. So, you know, those two have mental health issues that they do that to an elderly man, you know? Yeah.
Absolutely. Okay. Well, thanks for that, Morris. Anyway, but you do think it's a bit harsh. Yeah. Sorry, Jessica. What are you trying to say?
Yeah.
Oh, no, I was just thinking Morris there. They didn't listen to you. They got two shots. And if you don't pay a television license, you'll get the bricks dropped on you. Like, where is the sense?
Yeah. No.
It's baffling.
Yeah, but there is no kind of logic to the laws in this country. Sometimes there really is.
No.
Niall, who are you telling?
Yeah, you can rob the country of millions in this country and not go to jail. And if you don't pay 160 for your television license, you'll find yourself in Mountjoy for a day. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
You may as well drop a nuclear bomb the way they go on.
Yeah, absolutely. Mind you, less and less people are paying at the moment. Thank you for that, Jessica and Morris. Let me just go to Joe. Joe, hi, how are you?
Good afternoon, Niall. How are you?
Good afternoon to you, Joe. Sorry, can I apologise to everybody who's just tuned in? Sorry we're a bit late today. We're a little bit behind schedule. We had a few things to do, places to go, people to see, dogs to get to kick, or bye.
It's always good to have you on at any time, Niall. You know, you could be on at 1 o'clock in the morning. I'd still be listening to you anyway, I would.
I know you would, Joe. Thanks very much, Niall. Appreciate your support.
You're an icon of this country, and I say, if the day that you retire from broadcasting will be the end of our country, I tell you.
Oh, don't say that, Joe. Don't say that.
Because we need you. We need you now badly, Niall. You and Ben Scannell and a couple of others to keep us safe from
the Wokerati,
exactly, and that's what they are. Yeah, exactly.
Okay, getting back to this, Joe. What Rishi Sunak is suggesting? Do you think it's a bit harsh?
Well, look, there's two sides to this thing, really. Look, I see where Rishi Sunak is coming from, but to see, Morris just made some very valued points there, and, you know, Morris is a very educated man. He's one of the most educated people who comes on the show. He's a man of good logic. And what he said there is very true. The problem we see in this country is that there are certain cohorts in this country are getting away with murder anyway. It's not just poor people, it's rich people. It's like, you have politicians there who are screwing the system, who are on huge amounts of money, who shouldn't be getting the amounts of money they're getting. And, you know, I do agree, like, there is the logic too that there are some people, right, who don't want to work, who don't give two fiddlers, right? That's a kind of a small group, really. You know, but the majority of people, look, I think, like, you must remember too, the majority of people who are on welfare, like, are on it for a reason. The genuine cases, no, I'm talking about. I'm not talking about the scoundrels who are evading the system, like, you know. But I don't think this would work in this country, Niall, because I don't think the government or the authorities here have the balls to do anything about this. Because if somebody is deliberately milking the system, right? It doesn't matter who they are, whether they're a non-national or they're one of our own, or, like, in general, anybody in general. I think that there needs to be a review of it anyway, you know, because there probably are groups out there who can do jobs well and can well afford to do them, because there's no shortage of work around. There's plenty of jobs around if people wanted to get them. But I think the problem is a lot of there's a kind of a shyness to employment in this day and age, given the fact that we probably do have a good benefit system in this country, you know?
Oh, we do. We have one of the most generous social welfare systems in Europe.
Yeah. Like, we have a very good benefit system in this country. But the problem is it a lifestyle choice? I don't think it should be a lifestyle choice, because I think anybody who is genuine enough to work can work and are well able to work. And now there is scoundrels out there who are just abusing the system. You were talking about Paddy Power a while ago. I know of a case of a fella who was on benefits, and he spent all his benefits on a horse one day, and he lost the whole thing in one go, like, you know.
Right. Now, that wouldn't surprise me. Yeah.
Yeah. Now that's blackguardism, because, but I don't blame Jono, the fella, for doing it. I blame the state for giving him that reason to do it. Because I think the problem is our government, our politicians don't have the balls to tackle something like this. They never have got anything right in this country anyway. And I don't think they'll be able to do what Rishi Sunak is planning to do in Britain, because I think that they just make a total ass of it. Instead of doing something decent, if they concentrated on doing something more reliable, like looking after people, looking after Irish people, and looking after genuine people who need it, I'm all for that. But I it's a very, very complicated situation. But if it was to be a success, I would think it would have to be reviewed, because I don't have any confidence in politicians doing anything like that in this country, because I think they're just an absolute embarrassment, the whole lot of them, like, you know.
All right, Joe, thank you very much indeed for that. Let me go to Sandy. Sandy, hi, how are you, Sandy?
Hi, Niall, how's it going? I just want to say I wish Niall was president of Ireland and telling him sort out everything.
Yeah, I would. I'd sort it all out.
I'll freaking tell you. But anyway, right. As you know, I have a 30-year-old son, and he went over to America on, what, three and a half months ago. He has a very bad scoliosis. It's actually gotten worse. He went over the walking stick, and he was pumped up to his eyes in painkillers. And when he came back, he got a letter saying that his social welfare was cut because I had a plan with the Westmeath County Council to get a wet room and a bedroom downstairs for him, because it's actually getting worse. And basically, we appealed it and it said no, so we reapplied again, and we're still waiting. And I have...
That's shocking.
I know, I have two TVs in the Athlone area fighting and fighting for this. And one TD in Athlone, I won't mention him, but he had the cheek to come to my door and say to me, I'll help you out if you give me a vote. I said, you know what you can do with your vote?
Shove it up your ass. You and your vote.
Niall, I was so annoyed at him. But, yeah.
But it mentions on my screen, you were, and he was cut off disability.
He's cut off disability.
Why?
Because they're probably saying that in his own view that he's well able to work. He can't even sit for long periods.
I was going to say, if he's scoliosis, that'll be very difficult for him to work.
Yeah, and another thing too, he was flying with Ryanair and he had to bring a special pillow for his back. And you won't believe this. He came home and he said, "Mammy, I was charged €40 extra." I went, "For what?"
To bring the pillow.
He said, "What?" To bring the pillow.
Oh, well, no, you should have sent an email into Michael O'Leary about that one. Obviously, he didn't have a very good understanding of a situation.
As I'm sitting here, 40 euros just to bring a pillow on with him. Yeah.
Yeah, well, I would take that up with Ryanair and get your money back, because I can guarantee you they would absolutely give you a refund on that, because whoever the staff member was that charged him the €40 hasn't got a clue. Anyway, getting back, so Sandy, is it wrong to reassess people, you know, to go around and say, well, okay, listen, you know, you're claiming you have a bad back, you can actually work, you're claiming you're an alcoholic, I'll tell you what, we send you for treatment, you're not getting any more money. Well, you claim you have depression, we'll send you for therapy, and you're not getting any more money. Is it wrong to do that?
No, they should be reassessed, maybe not every year, maybe every, what, 3 years? They have to reassess them, do a renewal, blah, yeah. Blah. They have to. It's like when you get your car NCT. It's the, you know, when you think about it that way, I have to, you know, go through the NCT to see if it's roadworthy, and the same with a person. They have to, with the disability, see if they, you know, if they still can't work, blah, blah, blah. But I'm going to say it here, and I'm going to say it now, but there's people on methadone and this and that and the other on the claim of disability, and that really pisses me fucking off. I mean, sorry for cursing on your podcast, but that really pisses me off.
No, you don't have to apologise. I understand why you're angry. I'd be bloody angry.
No,
it was me.
And there, my young fella, like, he turned around and he said to me, "Mommy, I would love to work." He tried it, and he can't. He came down here the other day, and he was roaring, crying at 30 years of age, and I'm supporting him as well. Like, I'm going out working, and I'm killing my arse off to do it. Like, I'm a single parent, and I'm looking after him as well. At 30 years of age, I shouldn't have to do that.
No. Yeah, you absolutely shouldn't. Not at that point. You shouldn't. And you are 100% right. And by the way, I hope things work out for you. I hope things get a little bit better for you, Sandy, in relation to that. Let me just go to John. Thank you for that, Sandy. Let me go to John. John, hi. How are you?
How's the world's greatest broadcaster?
I don't know. Is he here?
Well, I tell you what, right? I reckon you should seriously consider, when the vacancy comes up and it's only around the corner, up in the Phoenix Park, because if the likes of Bertie Hearn is concerned, I don't see why you shouldn't throw your hat in the ring.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure there'll be a few in there. Peter Casey will probably be back running again, won't he? By the way, a little dicky word told me Ryan Tuberty was going to run as well. Well, there you go.
Oh, for the love of God. No, yeah. I think you'd beat him all hands down. I mean, look at all the amount of subscribers and fans you've got. You'd walk it, man.
Nina Fina Fall. Sorry, I was starting to feel all patriotic there for a second, John. Anyway, so John, is it wrong for Rishi Sunak to basically say, you know, or should we do the same, you know, that we need to reassess people on disability, reassess people on the dole after a year, cut them all off? Is it wrong?
Well, I suppose the fact if you're comparing, can you compare like with like? Because, again, which has previously been said by other callers, you're talking about a multimillionaire, right? Putting this idea out there now. His wife,
billionaire. Actually, billionaire.
His wife, yeah, his wife. Actually, supposed to be richer than he is, her family.
Yeah.
So they're worth a fortune between them, right? So probably wrong man giving the message. But look, I think for the sake of mental health, you're better off actually having a routine, getting out of bed in the morning.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more, for a lot of people, not for everybody, but
And it's you're socialising as well, because you're meeting people, talking about what you went in the weekend, where I went in the weekend, what you do next weekend, you know, so there's the social side of it, and it keeps your head ticking over, because this idea of not getting out in bed at 12 or 1 o'clock or 2 o'clock in the day is devastating for anybody. But I mean, like, where there are people with genuine grievances and genuine health problems, they should be encouraged and they should be helped in every way. Like, you've had many people on the show now, and they said that they were seriously considering, when they see others around them where they were living, packing up their job and just going on all the benefits. Well, if a person that's working, right, is thinking about that, there's something wrong. It means the tax system is wrong, you're not being paid enough, you're being exploited. If you're thinking that you're going to join the guy that's doing nothing and he's sitting in his hole all day.
I remember Jay, the truck driver, you know, Jay, Jason, that comes on every now and again. Jay, myself and Jay worked it out at the time because, you know, he was obviously paying maintenance for his children from his previous marriage, and he had eight kids. He has eight kids. And he worked it out based on, you know, all the benefits he would get. He would be actually financially nearly better off giving up his job.
Yeah, but I mean, the thing is, like, I mean, what about his mental health?
No, he wouldn't do that, obviously, but he was just saying financially, like, he's only something like 50 quid up on the deal by actually going to work.
But you see, that'll tell you, like, if there's only 50 euro on the difference, like, I mean, this is no wonder people are doing it. And I mean, that's unfair to people that are, like, here, that are getting up.
Yeah, well, I mean, look, I don't mind people getting benefits as long as they're entitled to them. But the problem is, Rishi Sunak is saying some people are not entitled to them. Like, for example, if you're choosing not to get a job, in other words, what he's saying is, if you're on the dole a year and you can't prove that you're actively seeking work and that you're willing to take anything, we're going to cut you off. If you're on claiming you're depressed or you suffer from anxiety, we're going to offer you therapy. You're not getting any more money. We're going to offer you therapy to get you back to work. Is that now? I know disability campaigners have gone mad today, saying it's really harsh.
I wouldn't be kind of saying just give you therapy and give you no money. We're giving the money, but evidence is that part of the package is that you to qualify for the benefits that you must go to therapy if you need therapy, right?
Mm.
Simple as that. But I mean, overall, I think like that. If people are just sitting around all day and doing nothing, like, and they're able-bodied and well-able, like, that you should have to go, because if every, like, you go to India or somewhere like that, like, if you don't get up in the morning, if you don't beg or find some way of chopping up wood or some menial job to get a couple of pence to get you through the day, you'll fucking starve to death.
Well, hang on, let me just go to James as well. James, hi, how are you, James?
Afternoon, T. Niles.
I'm good, James. Is this a little bit harsh? John is saying kind of yes and kind of no.
No, I think it's a wonderful idea. And I like the sound of El Presidente, by the way. Can we
President. Yeah. I know, do you know what? I would hate to be the president, because you don't have any power in Ireland as the president. You couldn't do it. You're not even allowed to have an opinion.
Think of the check.
No, I wouldn't do it for the money. You'd be bored.
Well,
I don't even think I'd like to live in that big house in the Phoenix Park. I wouldn't like to. You'd be like, it's very empty and roomy, isn't it? I just wouldn't like.
You mean the house with 92 rooms and no refugees living there?
That's the one. Yeah, I wouldn't like to be living there. You know, with deer's all running around my garden and all sorts of things. Nah. That wouldn't be for me.
No, I'd say Karen would love it.
I believe when Higgins went in there, going back first time round, which is probably about 9 years ago now, isn't it? 9, 10 years ago. When was it the first time he went in? Anyway, I believe that he got an awful lot of work done, because a mate of mine works for the Office of Public Works, and he was saying the amount of work that was done in the place, the amount of money that was spent. Now, maybe it just needed it, I don't know, but there was a lot of money spent on the Oris. Up the arse. James. Sorry, I'm going to off on a tangent. James, you don't think it's harsh at all? No, cut them off.
I think it's a great idea, Noel, because
You know, and as someone else mentioned earlier on, this government won't touch it. See, the thing about it is UK politicians are not as much in contact as our politicians are here. Like, in the UK, if you want to contact your MP, you have to write to them and all this and say, look, I need to discuss an issue with you. And it takes weeks. Where here, you can literally walk into their...
I know, I think they have clinics and constituency offices in the UK too.
I know a lot of them. It's not as easy to contact them as it would be here.
Yeah.
But I personally think, you know, I think it's a good idea. I think after a year, I think, you know, maybe what you should do is the model. I think in Germany, they have it where if you're earning 500,000 a year, you lose your job for your first year, they give you, you know, 300,000. They keep giving you plenty of money because you paid a fortune in tax. And then they gradually, after 3 years, wind it down to nothing.
Mm.
And I think it's the same system here. Like, it's what because the amount of people you see now who are gaming the system, it's unbelievable the amount of people are gaming the system. Like, and
Is it that bad, or is it just that we notice it? Do you know what people say? Oh, it's not as bad as people think it is. You know, it's not rampant.
Oh, it is, Niall. It is. Like, and the funny thing is, Niall, the vast majority of people who are gaming the system are probably working in the black economy as well. They're living Chinese's, doing my job, you know, all sorts, you know, getting cash in hand, you know. This is another issue too. But long term, we can't sustain the way the system is at the moment, and they're already talking about auto-enrollment for pensioners for everybody, because that basically means that the money is running out. So in 20 years' time, you know, simple economics, Niall, if you have more money going out than you have coming in, you're going to go broke. So we just can't handle the situation where we can't keep giving people money every month to sit in their holes and do nothing. And one thing, Niall, I'm not sure if I heard it right, the last lady I had on there who said about her son that has scoliosis,
yeah,
and he says that they cut off his disability. Did I hear her right saying he was in America for 3.5 months?
I didn't hear that part. Maybe she did.
I'm not sure. I thought I heard something about America. He was dosed up painkillers for 3.5 months or something like that. So,
yeah.
And maybe I heard it wrong. And then she moved on. Then she mentioned that the fact that his disability was cut off.
Yeah, but now, she also mentioned he was charged for £40 to bring his cushion on a Ryanair flight. That's terrible.
Well, that's a disgrace. That's a disgrace. Now, like, if he was in America getting treatment for scoliosis and they cut him off, that's a disgrace. But he was in America on a jolly for 3.5 months staying with family. I'm glad they cut him off, because he shouldn't be over there if he's, you know, if he is genuinely...
If you leave the country, by the way, for 3.5 months for any reason, if you're on disability, invalidity, the dole, any social welfare payment, you do lose it. You have to reapply for it when you come back. Yeah, that's normal.
Remember there was a video doing the rounds of a guy who went back to Romania for 3 months?
That's right, yeah.
And the guy in the social welfare is trying to explain to him that you can do it for 2 weeks. They shouldn't even get... And here's another thing, Niall. Why are they giving people on welfare 2 weeks holidays? That's crazy. And that's the reason why... Like, Niall, this country is the bulk of $300 billion in debt. I think people forget that. Like, my grandchildren, your grandchildren will be paying for this, and probably their grandchildren as well will be paying for this. We can't keep going on the way we're going on. We can't just keep giving out money willy-nilly. Oh, I have a bad back. Come back with us in 5 years.
Well, Rishi is saying, even like, if you've got a bad back, well, then we'll get you a job while you're sitting down.
Yeah, perfect. Absolutely.
Well, see, in England, they have a different system, by the way. Doctors write what they call, and over here we have sick notes. But in the UK, they have a new system now where a doctor writes a fit note. And a fit note basically means you're fit for certain types of jobs.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
You can walk in Tesco on the tills. They sit down all day. Mm-hmm. You can drive a taxi. We sit down all day. You know, there's plenty of jobs that are not that physically demanding that you could do that. Someone with a bad back, bad neck, they could do it. You know what I mean? They just don't want it. And why do they not want it? Because they're getting handed the bulk of a grand a month in cash. You know, some of them are probably living in rented accommodation, so that's covered for by HAP. They have a medical card. Every little cough, sneeze, or fart are straight down to the doctor, get all their prescriptions for free. Why would you want to stop doing that? If the state is going to hand money out willy-nilly, why do you think they'd stop it?
Mm. Okay, stay there. Let me go to Carl as well. Carl, hi, how are you?
How are you, Noel?
Carl, is it harsh? I mean, a lot of people are saying it's a bit harsh, but some people like James are saying, no, time enough, let's do this.
No. Look, it is a bit harsh, but as I said, the onus then is on the state to prove that you're fit for work. And what people don't realise is if a consultant has written you a letter, has given you a letter to say you are unfit for work, the medical doctors from the social welfare or the DHS over in England is not going to go against the consultant. It's very, very hard to get one doctor to go against another doctor.
And well, I'm looking here. Part of his rules, by the way, as well, GPs will be stripped of their role in signing off people as sick and replaced by specialist work and health professionals. In other words, if you're claiming disability, you won't be going to your GP anymore. You'll be going to somebody who works in the Department of Social Protection who's qualified to diagnose you.
Right, I'll give you an example. I went in for a primary medical cert in 2007. I had an accident, I lost a leg and walk.
I heard that. Sorry, Carl.
Yeah, so a primary medical cert gives you the grant to purchase a car, right? So I have to buy an automatic car because I can't drive a manual now because I lost the leg. And the medical doctor sat in front of me and refused point blank to sign that form. Even though one of the criteria on it says the applicant must be without the use of one or both legs. Now, I only had one leg, so I was entitled to that form. But I fought tooth and nail to get that.
And I'm assuming they examined you.
Oh, yeah. I was brought in for a medical exam every year. Every year I'm brought in for a medical exam. I was told when I had my accident in 2002 that I'd be 6 weeks out of work.
Can I ask, Carl, if it's not personal, what happened to you?
I crushed my foot on a forklift in work. I was an engineer.
Yeah.
And then they left me in a car too long in the hospital. And the bone marrow just got washed out of the leg, so I had to have it amputated.
Oh, God.
Then I picked up an infection called hidradenitis suppurativa. And then I had to go above the knee. Mm-hmm. And then I got it in the groin. So I'm in and out of hospital all the time, getting this thing washed out all the time. I'm getting constant infections.
And how is it now?
But I have an infection. I'm on antibiotics again.
Okay.
I'm sure Elaine has been telling me. His car's gone to the doctors again. Give us a ring later.
I'm so sorry to hear you go through that, Carl. That's dreadful.
No. Look,
I can't imagine what that would be like.
There's people worse off than me. I just get on with life. You know, I don't...
What was it Basil Fawlty said when somebody said to him, there's people worse off than you, Mr. Fawlty? He said, show me them. I could do it a laugh. Yeah. Okay, Carl, but you know, James is saying it's high time we did something about it. There are people out there scamming the system, taking advantage of the system. But, you know, Shaw made a point at the start of the show. Look, it would cost us too much money in administration, all that kind of... Just give them the money, sure. Look, it'd be cheaper than just going around checking it all.
Yeah, well, that's the easy option out of it, or the easy way out of it. But it's very hard to prove somebody has a problem with their back. Like your last caller, James, there saying, oh, they can sit in a chair. Obviously, he's never had back problems, because to sit in a chair with a back problem is not a very easy thing to do, because you're in constant pain and you have to keep moving.
I have back problems. I have sciatica. I hate sciatica. Sciatica. Yeah. And so people will notice when I'm doing this podcast, I constantly have to keep moving all the time, right? And the same if I'm in a car, I have to keep moving all the time. If I don't, it just gets really sore. So I have sciatica. But I can still work. I can still sit. I can still do jobs.
Yeah, but you're not sitting for 8 hours.
But if I really wanted it, I could gam it on and say I have a disability and probably get a payment.
Yeah, well, then that's not going to do your presidential campaign any good.
No, it wouldn't do me presidential campaign any good. But I'm just saying, if you want, the point James is making is people, there are people taking the wee-wee out of the system.
No, there are people taking the absolute piss out of the system. And I've seen them in the medical, when I was going in for my own medicals there. I've seen them walking in and putting an army back and sore. And then you see them half pair down the road and they're swinging and kicking a football and drinking points and smoking. It's not a bother to them.
I knew a guy who was out of work for 15 years, lived around the corner from me. He used to work at the docks and he claimed he had a bad back. I don't know how many times I've seen him up on his roof playing with a satellite dish and then lifting pillars out of the back garden while he was doing his gardening, because he loved it, because he had nothing else to do. He was so bored. But stay there a second. Let me just go to Nuala as well. Nuala, hi, how are you?
I'm fine now, and I was just listening to your man, and then I was saying to the same thing at the same time, if an employer refused you a job because you had scoliosis or you had something else, you could take him up to court because he wouldn't employ.
Discriminate, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, be discriminating.
It's a catch 22.
Yeah.
Now, in Denmark, they have what they call flexi-security, in which if you lose your job, you're paid a good percentage of the job you had.
And
they make it easier to fire, easy to hire. And if you're fired, you just go and you can get your benefit, and it'll be not too much less than what you were getting. And it makes it easier for employers to, to fire somebody and then hire somebody, and you can leave your job where in Ireland, if you left your job, you're more penalised than the person who never worked. You know, I think that's...
But why would you get? Why would you be getting nearly, if you left your job, why would you nearly get the same amount of money as you did when you were working? Why would they even do that to you? Why would they give you that much money? So that'd be no point in working
there. They wouldn't give you that money, but I mean... No.
Yeah,
I'm
but what happens? Yeah, but what happens in Denmark? I don't think you're explaining the system in Denmark fully. It's similar to the United States. So if you lose
you're
your...
Being
yeah, okay, but yeah, but if you lose your job in Denmark, right, that you get paid close enough to what you were earning before, right? But only for a short period
a year
of time.
Or two.
Yeah, no, it's not even a year or two. It's only with 3 months. So it's only for a short period of time. And then after that, it gets cut down. And then after 6 months, it gets cut again. And then after a year, it gets cut right down to a minimum that you couldn't even live on. So that encourages you to go back to work again. But that's a good, that's a good system.
Upskill.
Yeah, that's a good system.
Upskill.
Yeah.
It is a good system.
Yeah.
You know, where, I mean, some people in Ireland, well, you'll always get scammers, but there's people make a career about being on the phone.
And should we make more of an effort to catch the scammers, or should we just leave as is?
Well, you see, the thing is, there is a problem with our prices of rent and the price of housing. That, you know, that people lose all their benefits if they, say, take on a good job. You'd lose your medical card. You'd probably
lose your HAP scheme. Your HAP scheme.
The HAP scheme and all that.
Yeah.
So so, like, it doesn't encourage people to make some effort themselves. But, you know, they have to do something about the rents and the price of housing.
Let me just go back to James. James, that's a good point. You know, a lot of people are in a bit of a trap there, James. You know what I mean? They're getting the HAP scheme. They're getting all sorts of things. If they took a job, they'd actually be worse off. But particularly with the price of accommodation in this country.
But see, that's the same, Niall. We're encouraging it. Because if you're giving people all these benefits...
You have to give them the benefits. Where are they going to live?
You make them get a job, but you make sure work pay it. So you make sure that if you have a job, if you go say you go need to see your doctor, it should only be say €20 to see your doctor. Your prescription should be covered. Something similar to what you have at the NHS. Something you should pay something towards it. Shouldn't be free. You pay something €20 to see your doctor. And I think by you say €20 or €30, it wouldn't encourage everybody just to go flooding to the doctor when they're have a sniffle. And then you can get your medication, you know, whatever it costs now, £150 or £2, wherever it is. What you need to do now is you need, as you mentioned Jay earlier on, I've heard Jay so many times, he sounds like a great guy. What we need to do is we need to encourage people to work, but we need to make it to the point where it's worth the while working and not worth the while. Like, if you're working now, I'm going to just say Tesco, you're in a minimum wage shop in Tesco at £12.60 an hour. After you've paid your tax, you're taking €460 home a week. If you're on a dole, and it just, you know, if you're married or you're living with somebody and you have kids, you are actually financially better off on the dole than you are actually having a job. Flip that over. Say to the person in Tesco, right, we're going to reduce your tax down to a minimum. We're going to charge you a minimum of, say, 10% because you're earning such a... I think there was a political party wanted to have a second or a third band of tax. That's what you do. But what you do with the person then who's sitting at home watching Sky or watching that dodgy fire stick all day, drinking cans of Dutch Gold, saying, listen, pal, after a year, you're back looking for work. We're giving you nothing. And I can guarantee you not. And an example I'll use, when they changed the welfare system for the Ukrainians coming in, look how it just dropped off a cliff just like that. 3/4 of them stopped coming. Why? Because there was no more money for them. That's what it comes down to, Niall. It comes down to money.
Okay, well, hang on. Two seconds if you can, because I just need to go to Sarah Jane as well before I finish here today. Sarah, hi, how are you?
How's it going, Niall?
Sorry, I'm running a bit short on time, but go ahead, Sarah.
I'm just saying, you'd never make it in the White House, and anyway, you can't keep you quiet.
I know,
never shut you up.
Yeah, I know.
Anyway, no, I think it's a brilliant initiative. I think, you know, if they're not contributing to society, it's about time to change the whole ethos and culture of the system and get them out there walking. Because as long as we're talking about it, there's still people always going to be out there screwing the system.
You know
what I mean? So things need to be done. I know you're talking about the UK, but the same thing, I think it'd be brilliant if it was implemented in Ireland.
Yeah, as long as we got the real scammers and we weren't picking on vulnerable people.
Exactly. You'd have to do it with that as well. But like,
I don't want to see vulnerable people being picked on.
Know where to target and who to target.
Okay, well, on that note, listen, I've run out of time, unfortunately, Sarah. I do apologise for cutting everybody a little bit short there. I'm so sorry. It's just we've run out of time. Don't forget, by the way, if you want to donate, if you want to help us out, it's really important that you do that because we can't keep the podcast going without your financial input, please go to our website, nileboylan.com. That's nileboylan.com. And you can donate or you can subscribe there on the website. We should talk to you again tomorrow at 12. Until then, have a great day.
The multi-award-winning Niall Boylan Podcast. Listen live on Facebook, YouTube, and all the usual live stream services. To get in touch, just WhatsApp or text 085-100-2255. The Niall Boylan Podcast. They told me to shut up. Available for download from all your usual platforms.